The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
What a play!
Can you believe this?
No, I can't.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Off to the races, and he stays on his feet.
This is going to go the distance.
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Some sleepers, breakouts, and busts, some NFL draft scenarios, some fill in the blank, and some awesome analysis from today's guest, Jake Seeley of The Athletic. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Fantasy Football Today. Jake, welcome back to the show at All In Kid on Twix. What's up, Jake?
What's going on? Is that what we're calling now? Because I love some Twix.
Yeah, that's what Dave's calling it. That's a Dave-ism. Combining Twitter and X to make Twix. Yes.
I love it. Right? I love it. Great. Dave. That's why you're in the Hall of Fame, man.
Yeah, that's that, and doing the same job for 20 years got me into the Hall of Fame.
Hey guys, happy opening day.
Oh, happy opening day.
Today opening day?
Today is opening day. Who are the White Sox playing?
Unless you're a Mets fan and you got kicked to tomorrow.
Is it raining that bad, Adam?
No. It's barely raining right now, but I don't know what the forecast is. Yeah, they're postponed.
They said they canceled it yesterday because of expected rain.
Yeah.
Now, guys. I watch a lot of baseball.
Let's fill out a bracket. All right, we do have some news items here. Jake's going to come on the show and give us one or two sleepers, breakouts, and busts. Oh, he's already on the show. He's going to give us sleepers, breakouts, and busts. We'll do some fill in the blank. And we're just waiting for Jake to join us now. Here we go. So some news and notes. Dave, you talked about this yesterday. Doug Peterson says that the Jaguars need to get Tank Bigsby more involved. Yeah, what was your level? Because this was not something new necessarily. He said that he wanted to reduce the workload for Travis Etienne. I don't remember that when that was, a few weeks ago or last month or something. But what's your level of concern there of Bigsby taking on a bigger role for the Jaguars?
Someone's going to do it. I don't know how big of a role it's going to be. I still think Etienne's going to be the lead back. Still think Etienne is in line to get anywhere between 15 and 20 touches a game. But if it's a running back like Bigsby who could work in that short yardage role, on top of taking maybe some like inconsequential downs off of ETN, just as a way to keep ETN fresher and healthier, it could lead to ETN missing out on like 4 touchdowns over the course of the year and maybe like 30 carries. I'm not saying he's going to go down 30 carries, but he might not be any better than where he was last year. And that being said, last year was a pretty good year for Travis ETN. So I still view him, I think by default, as a top 12 running.
Okay. Does anybody have any interest in a 12-team league, 5 bench spots, let's say 6 bench spots, drafting Josh Reynolds, going to the Denver Broncos? Josh Reynolds.
If they address their quarterback situation appropriately, maybe. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if he's the number 2 receiver there. You know, just looking at how Sean Payton treated Marvin Mims last year, which sucks. But, you know, these are the type of receivers, and Josh Reynolds was kind of like this last year in terms of, you know, putting a little bit of a ceiling on Jamison Williams. You know, they keep doing the right things, but don't necessarily produce at a level that we like for the game that we play. You know, so he probably blocks well enough. He probably runs his routes well enough, but he's just not explosive and doesn't do the things that are going to make him, you know, fantasy productive. So drafting, probably not, but, you know, waiver wire guy throughout the course of the season, I think he'll pop up on a few of those lists for sure.
Okay. What about Jamison Williams? I just want to talk about him because Jameson Williams, not really relevant today. He's not in the news, although we are talking about sleepers, breakouts, and busts. I don't hear him talked much about in our breakouts when we discussed Jameson Williams. Is anybody pumped for Jameson Williams this year?
Maybe one of my favorite players to take around pick 100 right now. And by the time we get to August and he makes a play in the preseason, or there's a lot of hype about him from Lions camp, he could end up going somewhere in round 8. So there's definitely room for him to move up. We know that he's fast. We're waiting for his game to elevate and for him to be better and become a more well-rounded wide receiver. Thought that would have happened by now, to be honest, but injuries have taken a toll. Suspensions have taken a toll. This might be the last best chance he gets to be a big-time receiver in the NFL. I don't know if he'll ever be like a top 12 type of fantasy wide receiver, but as a guy that you draft to start on your bench at the beginning of the year, would not surprise me if he finished the year in the top 30 on a points per game basis, if things align properly in Detroit. And now that Josh Reynolds isn't there, if the Lions don't add anything to that receiving core, then it should open up a spot for Williams to get some decent target volume from game to game.
I'm okay with what you said about that and the fact that I want him understanding he's going to be a wide receiver 3 or 4 and understanding that you just keep him in your lineup every single week. If he does hit, to your point, Dave, is that it's going to be lesser Devonta Smith. You can't try to play the matchups because he'll show up against bad defenses and then not show up against, you know, favorable matchups. And so I just think that it's a play him out there. He'll win you weeks. He'll do nothing in other weeks, but that's what you get in that kind of spot with that kind of wide receiver.
All right. A couple more, just a few NFL draft thoughts or notes rather. Jim Harbaugh, Chargers head coach, talking about building up the offensive line. They're very much in play to draft the top offensive tackle, Joe Alt, at 5th overall. We'll see if that happens. Jaden Daniels had his pro day yesterday.
It was a great quote, by the way, from Harbaugh, if you haven't seen it.
Yeah. What was the quote?
So he said, he basically was talking about, paraphrasing here, that the one position group that is independent of everything else on the field is the offensive line. He said that if they do their job, everything else works. If their job fails, everything else falls apart. And he had a funny line. He's like, well, the defensive line, they could complain about that too. He's like, well, you want to be on the field a lot, or do you want to be watching a 12 or 13 play drive, you know, where the offensive line is opening up holes and protecting the quarterback and all those things. So, it's funny. I think we mentioned this the other day when we were going through the stuff from the owners' meetings, that he gets it about what makes a successful team. We hate it because, like, we want to see Justin Herbert with Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers or one of these, you know, high-profile rookies that happens. They'll find a receiver. It's a very deep class. They'll find a receiver. But if he finds a guy that's going to keep Justin Herbert upright and make the run game successful, that's probably a route that they may go. So don't be surprised if Joe Alt is the pick at 5.
Yeah, but they also, it's also a deep offensive line class, offensive tackle class. So the Chargers, obviously, we wouldn't be surprised if they trade back.
Yes.
And, you know,
he spent a lot of time talking about that, too.
Yeah, right. So it wouldn't be, if they came away in the first two rounds with a left tackle, with an offensive lineman and a wide receiver, it wouldn't be a shock at all for the Chargers. Jaden Daniels weighed in at 210 pounds yesterday. I had mentioned an article by Nate Tice talking about how rare it is for quarterbacks who are under 205 pounds to be good in the NFL. So 210, maybe a little breathing room there. That's good. And the Panthers signed edge Jadeveon Clowney to a 2-year, $20 million deal. It could be worth up to $24 million. Jake hasn't really talked much. Jake, how you been? How's life? What's going on?
I've been doing great. First year of marriage in the books and the 18th of this month. So that's really all that matters right now.
You made it. Good
happy
job.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah, happy anniversary.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes, everything's great.
It's exactly the same as when you weren't married, right?
No.
Really?
It is not. It is much
happy
better.
He is.
No, I know.
No, I mean when you were dating, like getting married.
Oh, yeah, it's exactly how it's the same as it was with dating. Yes, and as Jamie has pointed out, I smile a lot more these days.
There you go. Yes, you're a happy guy. That is good to see.
You forgot one more news item, though.
What is that?
I forget.
J.K. Dobbins visiting the Chargers.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
You know what? We had a fill in the blank for later that said J.K. Dobbins will be playing for the blank next season and will finish as RB blank. And the Chargers just make a lot of sense, right? Reunite with Gus Edwards and Greg Roman. But so that could be one of them.
The same frustrating backfield we talked about, just on a different coach.
Yeah. All right, so promoting some important stuff here. First of all, it's opening day. So check out the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Because your season's not over, right? You drafted, that's great. Now you got to make all the right moves, and they're all over it. And they are on CBS Sports Network. A lot of our podcasts, you're going to see them on CBS Sports Network. I watched FBT yesterday on CBS Sports Network, and it was really awesome, really cool to see on national TV. We did this, FFT did this in the fall, but now you're going to see this every day, every weekday on CBS Sports Network. If you want to watch some of our CBS Sports podcasts, Beyond the Arc has been on there. Ion College Basketball is on there a lot right now, obviously. Right now, Fantasy Baseball Today is going to be on there. So check it out, CBS Sports Network, in the afternoons. You're going to see some good stuff there. Dave, I know you want – do you want to take it away, Early Edge?
Sure. Okay. I have been part of the Early Edge player prop show on Fridays during the NFL season. Some of you knew about it. Some of you joined us. Some of you don't even care about player props, and that's okay. We're going to start up again on Friday with an NFL draft prop show. Every Friday between now and the draft, 4 p.m. Eastern on YouTube. You can watch us. You can ask questions. We're going to go over all the props that are in the NFL draft, the ones that we think make sense for you to bet, and other ones that we'd stay away from. So join us Fridays, 4 p.m. on YouTube, Early Edge NFL Draft Player Prop Show.
Love it. Kendre Miller going into his second season for the New Orleans Saints. He is a sleeper for Jake Seeley. Get excited. After this commercial break, we're going to talk about it. We'll be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
All right, we are back here on FFT, and we're talking about Jake's sleepers, breakouts, and busts. So you gave me two sleepers. They are Kendre Miller and Michael Wilson. And that's, I love this. These are not a couple guys that we've spotlighted a lot here. So tell me why you like Miller and Michael Wilson.
So Miller comes down to what I thought of him coming out of college. And the funny thing enough was that I compared him pre-draft to Jamal Williams, exactly the player I thought he could be. And that's why I thought the signing slash drafting was a little confusing to me. After what you saw last year, I think there's an opportunity here that we see Williams potentially as a cut early in the season before we get started and Kendre Miller takes over as number two spot. Whether or not they keep Williams on the roster, I think this is open for Miller to step forward this year, whatever they're thinking of Kamara going forward. I just look at this and say, you're talking about these split backfields, which are just so commonplace these days. And if Kendre Miller gets that split and gets the goal line carries, which was something we were talking about earlier with the Tank Bigsby situation, I think it could even be better that for him. So I actually think that Miller right now is a great last pick. I think similar to Dave before when he's saying like around 100 for Jameson Williams, Kendre Miller's not even close to that yet.
And the Saints, the second leader, or the number two in rushing touchdowns last year was Taysom Hill. So that might not, you know, is he a free agent still, Taysom Hill?
Yes, I don't believe he's signed yet.
Right,
we saw Miller go just after round 10 in our most recent full PPR mock. His ADP for our three PPR mocks since the season ended, right at the end of round 10. Jake, you good with that?
Nah, I'm good with that. I'd go up another round or two. Oh.
So I went, you know, I did this whole, it's on the site. The NFC one will be on the site today, but I did basically a note per team, or at least one note per team from the owners' meetings, from the stuff I got, or just like I went back and I watched the entire Dennis Allen media session yesterday. And I was hoping somebody, because I didn't get a chance to talk to him, but I was hoping somebody would have asked about the backfield, just because I think it's a great call by Jake about what Kendre Miller could become. I'd be surprised at this point if they cut Jamal Williams, but you never know, you know, just how things go with teams. He's one of these locker room guys that everybody loves. You know, it was like that in Green Bay. It was like that in Detroit. It seems to be the same thing in New Orleans. But he obviously doesn't have the same type of upside, clearly, that a guy like Miller has. And you're talking about playing behind a guy like Alvin Kamara, who's, you know, getting up in age, as we know, you know, 28 years old. So will he either take away the secondary role, or will he be the handcuff should something happen to Kamara? One thing Dennis Allen talked – well, two things Dennis Allen talked about was the scheme change with Clint Kubiak. So I think the opportunities and some of the runs that we'll see – will be beneficial to a guy like Miller, certainly beneficial to a guy like Kamara, and the role in the passing game as well for both those guys. The other thing he talked about was, and this was a little scary because I don't know which direction they'll go. My impression was tight end, but he was asked about his receiving depth, and he brought up Cedric Wilson having a veteran in the room, but he said, we're looking to still add a pass catcher, not necessarily a wide receiver, but a pass catcher. Now, again, I would think that's tight end, if that's the way he's going to frame it.
That's Bowers.
But, well, it'd be interesting. What direction do they go? Because when you look at this group right now that they have, Olave clearly should just be a target magnet, you know, based on how this receiving core looks like. Rashid Shaheed's the number two. Right now, Cedric Wilson is the number three. A.T. Perry, which is somebody I know Jake likes a lot, or at least did last year, Jake. I don't want to speak for him, but is in the mix as one of the top four guys, but a different, you know, big body type of guy. And then you mentioned, you know, no Taysom Hill, so Juwan Johnson. So what route do they go to add another pass catcher? I don't think it's somebody in the backfield. But again, the way that Dennis Allen sort of framed it was not necessarily a receiver, another pass catcher. So it would suck if it's a pass catching back. It would suck if it's, you know, I shouldn't say it would suck if it's a receiver, because, you know, Rashid Shaheed is more of a three than a two for me. In terms of NFL receivers. And so we'll see how they approach this. But yeah, Bowers or another tight end would make a lot of sense.
Two things. Number one, the Saints get no cap relief if they cut Jamal Williams. So I don't think they're cutting Jamal Williams unless he just absolutely sucks. Number two, I'm in the middle of doing the Brock Bowers profile. I listed New Orleans as one of the four best landing spots for him because he could fit in and potentially be the number two target getter. He can be the underneath target like he was at Georgia, and someone who could be a difference maker in that offense, especially since, like you said, Jamie, they're changing their scheme. It's not going to be exactly like it was last year. That would be a good place for Brock Bowers to go, even though we know that there's going to be some quarterback fluctuation over, let's call it, the next 3 years in New Orleans.
I thought it was just a cool NFL answer for what Dennis Allen said. So when he was asked about Clint Kubiak, he said that he reached out to David Carr, who played for Gary, and asked Derek about, you know, his feelings on that. You know, did your brother have a good experience? And he said that David signed off on it right away. You know, so the fact that he checked with the family to see if there was any issues with the Kubiaks, you know, the Cars and the Kubiaks, that was fun.
All right, next sleeper for Jake is Michael Wilson, second-year receiver for the Cardinals. He had 565 yards and three touchdowns in 13 games. He actually finished strong, I guess, last two games, 35 yards and a touchdown and 95 yards, exactly 15.5 PPR fantasy points in both games for Michael Wilson in week 17 and 18 with Kyler Murray. That was after two straight games with zero catches. All right, my question for you is, Does Michael Wilson lose his sleeper appeal if the Cardinals take a wide receiver in the first round?
No, I actually expect the Cardinals to add a wide receiver and still like Michael Wilson as the two. I felt like I was pretty high in comparison to the majority. I don't know about you guys, maybe with me on that, but on Michael Wilson as a whole last year coming into the draft. I think he can line up at any spot I think that you saw that they used him in various positions last year, whether you had Marquise Brown was out, whatever was going on in other situations. I know a lot of people have been talking about Dortch this offseason, and Dortch is fine for who he is, and I like him, but more of a three or a four on most NFL teams, in my opinion. I think Wilson could be a one or two, more likely a two. I think somebody alongside of him as the similar talent or better will really help him. And actually, that's why I'm fine with him. Like, if they draft Harrison, if they draft Neighbors, if they trade down and still take a wide receiver, I'm okay with that. I just think the fact is he's going to be the one or two on this team. And as the one or two with Kyler Murray healthy for an entire season, I could see him putting up top 40 numbers.
Is he on your radar, guys?
Absolutely. Drafts? I took him in our last draft. Very late too, which was, you know, that's the best part about
late
it.
Late round 12.
The better. Look, you always look for situations like this of there's continuity because he's played with Kyler Murray. The rookie coming in is going to have to learn that. Now, you would assume, again, if the draft capital is what it is, you know, top four overall pick, Harrison or Neighbors, or if they do trade down and still get one of those guys or Dunze, he's still going to be a part of, like Jake said. You got to factor in Trey McBride too, you know. So, I think, you know, to assign a number to it, we'll see how that shapes up, you know, is either one, two, or three in terms of targets. One thing Jonathan Gannon said, you know, again, to go back to owners' meetings, was in regard to Kyler Murray, just thrilled to have him in offseason workouts, you know, because he wasn't able to do that last year. So his command of the system will be better. His relationship with his receivers will be better. He did spend a lot of time talking about Greg Dortch as well. So, you know, he'll be a part of this. And we know that he's sort of been kind of like that, you know, guy we always talk about when there's somebody missing. He's one of those guys that steps up and plays well. And really, that's the only time he's ever done that. He's never been a featured part of the offense. But without Rondale Moore there, he should have that slot role kind of locked up. But in any event, yeah, it's a great call. I mean, just based on what the opportunity is. Now, if they draft two receivers, then you got to be a little because then they're looking at it and saying he may not be the one or the two, which he still could be, but they may just not be viewing it that way if they're concerned, because he did miss a lot of time with injury last year, which was a little frustrating.
Yeah.
That's kind of part
this
of his game.
This is what he does,
too,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. He had that at Stanford as well. What kind of target on a – like, give me a number, Jake, per game. Marvin Harrison's in Arizona. Trey McBride's in Arizona. Michael Wilson's there, too. How many targets do you think Michael Wilson can get from week to week on average?
You want the end of the year number, or do you want a per game number?
Per game.
I think he lives in a 4 to 6 range.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'd say five and a half per game.
Yeah.
Could be right around where he's at. And so you're taking a shot with him with a late pick. I don't think I would do it in non-PPR. And I think I wouldn't do it in half PPR either. But full PPR, where receiver value obviously big. If it's one of Jamie's leagues where it's three wide receiver and a flex, yeah, that's a guy for your bench.
See, that's interesting, because I have to think, depending on who they draft, now Marvin Harrison obviously, but I think depending on who they draft alongside of him, I actually liked how Michael Wilson is targeted in the red zone and specifically in the end zone. I actually think he can be a touchdown maker for them, so I would actually like him in all three formats.
All right, George Pickens is an obvious breakout, according to Jake. He went with the 9th pick of round 5. He went after Cooper Kupp and DK Metcalf. He went before, not a lot of, Terry McLaurin. It's like 8 picks later. So I'll give you the other breakout too. He says Josh Downs, but George Pickens, late round 5, so 57th overall. How do you feel about that?
Are you asking them or me?
You, Jake. You.
Okay. I thought the way that you phrased that, I thought you were like, are you guys good with this call of that? I actually think that number could rise, especially if they wait till day 2 or 3 to add another wide receiver. So I think Pickens is going to be a very popular one. People want him last year, wanted it to happen last year, and the inconsistencies didn't lead to what we wanted. The jokes were made when he was drafted that they drafted a better wide receiver. It's just the skill set that Pickens has. He does have a skill set to be a top 20 wide receiver. Now, the quarterback situation is going to come into play, whether Fields takes over at some point. But even so, Fields just helped DJ Moore be what he was as a top 12, actually top 10 wide receiver. So I think really if they don't add anything significant, like if they don't draft round 1 wide receiver and we're like, ooh, well, maybe it'll be a little more split like it was with Deontay Johnson, I think people are going to start to come around to Pickens. And that's why I kind of said he feels obvious. I feel like that number is going to creep into the 4th, maybe even late 3rd, but definitely 4th round.
Yeah, I think late round 5 was a little later than I expected him to go, I suppose. Jamie, would you take George Pickens over any of these players? Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, Christian Kirk.
Yes. Kirk is the close one for me, just because I do think he's going to be a heavy volume guy in Jacksonville, knowing this receiving core. If it stays as it is, you know, they're in play. I think it's 16 or 17, whatever pick they have in the first round to take a wide receiver. Doug Peterson talked about that. But obviously when you're talking about upside, Pickens has much more upside than all three of these guys. And, you know, the only concern, it's two words that scare the hell out of me with George Pickens, and it's Arthur Smith. In that, you know, he may just unfortunately not allow the number one receiver to be the number one receiver like we hope it could be, like we saw with Drake London as well. But obviously the quarterback situation that he's dealing with is a little bit better. So comparing Atlanta to Pittsburgh.
Yes.
You know, so I think you got to be all in on George Pickens at the right cost. Like, you don't want to, you know, Dave said this phrase a lot. You don't want to draft him at his ceiling. So I think round three feels like his ceiling. Round four, I think, is the sweet spot for him. Round five, you just absolutely run to make that pick. You know, that's the kind of player that you want to get. So round four is when he should start to be on your radar.
I like the round five value for sure. Tell me if this means anything to you guys. Drake London averaged 6.9 targets per game last year. Now, that was in an offense with terrible quarterbacks, and there were plenty of other guys that got targets, random guys from week to week that would have a spike in targets, but that was London's average over the year. Last season, seven games where George Pickens had at least seven targets. We're going to round up a tenth of a target. Four of those games, awesome. At least 15 PPR, four of them, 100 yards. Only one of them was a Mason Rudolph game, by the way. The other three were stinkers. I wonder if that's how it might end up looking for Pickens this year, is half the games you're going to love having them and half the games you're going to hate having them. But when you've got receivers like that, they're number two guys. You know, once upon a time, Tyler Lockett was one of those guys where half the year you'd hate having him on your team. The other half of the year you loved having him on your team because he'd have big games. I think Pickens can do the exact same thing, especially since now he appears to be the clear-cut number one target. And his downfield game, the way that he fights for those targets, they're contested catches. They don't look pretty all the time, but he comes down with them. I think Russell Wilson will like that a lot. And I think that Russ with Pickens could end up being a pretty good deal. We want Russell Wilson for George Pickens. I don't think I'm going to be as into Pickens if it's Justin Fields.
I'll still be in, but I think that to your point there is that's what we have with most wide receiver twos these days. I mean, you're talking about the DK Metcalfs. Even we were just brought up Calvin Ridley, Michael Pittman last year. There's a lot of weeks where it's like they got 3 points, 4 points. I think that we have to understand that the majority is, I know Chris Olave was a wide receiver too, but he's actually more the anomaly where, you know, as you mentioned, 7-8 years ago, it was the reverse. So I think you just understand that those are the kind of wide receivers we're drafting as twos these days.
Yeah, Pickens, though, I liked so many things about him, including he played four games without Deontay Johnson. He had 75 or more yards in three of them. But I do wonder how we would be evaluating George Pickens if not for Trubisky or Rudolph coming in week 16 and 17. 35.5 points, 20.1 points. But up until that, he looked like a bust, like an NFL draft bust. With a sporadic, you know, with an occasional huge game and usually completely silent. And I also wonder if people were actually playing fantasy in week 18 and he went and played his normal snaps and he had no catches on no targets at Baltimore in week 18, what we'd be thinking about Pickens. So I guess the thing that draws me back about Pickens is if you look at his career right now, there's a lot more bad than good, a lot more. And I definitely think it's quarterback related, but it also might just be his profile because he's like a 15-yard ADOT guy, which is tough. It is tough to find consistent receivers. I think he needs to lower that ADOT, be a little bit more of a complete receiver, and not just be relying on the big play.
That I mean, this draft class that he's part of, there, you know, we can sit here and debate third-year receivers. Does it still matter for, you know, profiles and all those things? There's so many guys that have dealt with crappy quarterback situations. Three that just come right up, jump off the page. He's one, Drake London's one, and Garrett Wilson's one. Like, when you look at what these three guys are walking into this season, we thought it was going to be the case last year with Wilson. Obviously, we know what happened to Aaron Rodgers. And now these other two guys are getting, to whatever degree you want to say, obviously Kirk Cousins should be huge for Drake London, and we're hoping that Russell Wilson's going to be big for George Pickens. But it's also opportunity. Pickens just got rid of his toughest competition for targets. And now it's just a clear path to targets, better targets. Again, hopefully the coordinator doesn't ruin him, but everything is just pointing in the right direction. Drake London, everything is pointing in the right direction. Garrett Wilson, everything pointing in the right direction. So you know, we're going to look back on this and say, I can go through the laundry list of what wide receivers throughout the course of history have broken out in their third season. There's going to be three from this class. And I'm pretty confident in that Drake London and Wilson and Pickens should be three of them.
It's fine. I feel like we were talking about that on draft night with, man, we love these receivers, but they went to some bad situations and it really has reared its ugly head, I guess, for those three. I think for Olave, he hasn't had a very good situation. Dotson hasn't had a very good situation. Treylon Burks had a terrible situation. He was drafted.
It didn't get better.
He was drafted as, I forgot, he was drafted as AJ Brown's replacement because Brown got traded that night. But like we wanted Green Bay so badly to take a round one wide receiver. They didn't, and then they took Christian Watson in round two.
Go back 3 years, and you have Ayuk, who fell into a terrible situation. Pittman was dealing with the remaining Philip Rivers, and then the first year of T. Higgins was first year Joe Burrow. I meant to say the first year with Joe Burrow, which was he didn't even play the full season. And now those three are thought of as top 15, top 20 across the board. So I think it'll be a little bit patient with this.
Higgins and Pittman. That's an interesting debate. We should get into that someday.
Do you like better, Jake? Pittman or Higgins?
Higgins.
Yeah, baby. That's what I'm talking about. I got crushed yesterday.
You didn't get crushed. One guy.
The chat. The comments. They did not agree.
Well,
with
we could quick hit Downs with that is because I like the fit of Downs with Anthony Richardson, which is why I liked them last year when they drafted him, and I thought Alec Pierce was pretty much done. That's why I think Downs is a nice sleeper this year. You already saw the connection before Richardson got hurt. And, of course, Richardson's going to continue to be an injury risk, but I think Richardson Downs, I'm not saying that Downs is going to surpass Pittman, but I think you can see Pittman and Downs very close in fantasy numbers. They're different styles, but their numbers are going to be similar at the end of the year, and that's why I like Downs as a great late pick.
So I agree with that, but Joe Burrow is not an injury risk?
To the Anthony Richardson, I don't know. Is it career or is it just past season? I mean, two seasons.
They both didn't finish their rookie seasons.
It's fair.
One guy's annually hurt all the time.
Yeah, it's an interesting discussion, but some people just think that mobile quarterbacks are more injury prone because they get hit more. I have read people say that the research shows that mobile quarterbacks are not more injury prone. And I have read the exact opposite.
FB Injury Doc, he actually has a whole study he did on it and shows that they don't get hurt more than quarterbacks that stand in the pocket.
Right. We just have unfortunate negative views of because of like RG3 and you know guys that Lamar. Have long-term injuries. Well, I mean Lamar's been
RG3. See, he even said now he realized he should have ran out of bounds more.
No.
Yeah. It's kind of common sense, it almost feels like they have to be more injured.
Well, Russell Wilson's been sort of a good example of that. You know, when he was running, he was always running safely for the most part, and he's run less as he's gotten older, which has hurt his fantasy production, although last year he changed a little bit.
All right, Josh Downs went in round 11. Michael Wilson went in round 12. Jake, who do you like better, Josh Downs or Michael Wilson?
Michael Wilson by a hair, but the draft could change that, as we've been talking about.
Let's get to Jake's busts. And one he says is kind of obvious. Like, sorry, looking at my phone here to see who he said. He said it was Keenan Allen, but I just want to see where Keenan Allen went. And that was the last 48th, last pick of round 4.
You know, and at that point, I'd say I'm willing to roll the dice on it just because he could be the one. I mean, we're talking about what he did last year. We're talking about a rookie quarterback, and we all know at this point it's going to be Caleb Williams. But at the same time, like, we don't know who Caleb Williams is going to like. Is he going to like DJ Moore? Is he going to like Keenan Allen? Who's going to lean on more? I think that's a big question. But I also think you're talking about how much success does he have? I mean, people are going to what we do, recency bias, every single year. Look at what CJ Stroud did and like think that, oh, just copy paste Caleb Williams, going to come in, throw up these great numbers, and everything's going to be great. But if it's just 80, 85% of that and it's shared evenly, I think that's the concern because that's actually going to be too high for Keenan Allen. And what if DJ Moore stays the lead and Keenan Allen comes in as the clear number two? Then there's even more risk at this point. So it's not buying peak Keenan Allen because peak Keenan Allen, I think, would still be third round, but it's very close to Dave's point from earlier. It's like, I don't want to buy Keenan Allen and DJ Moore where things have to go right and everything has to break right of what we've seen for them to be at that cost.
I almost want to settle for Keenan Allen if I'm going to take him at all. And I feel like there's going to be a couple of people in every draft that They know Keenan Allen's name and they know what he's capable of doing. And they know that he catches the ball really well. And they're going to take him before I'm willing to take him. And I like that. I don't want to take Keenan Allen. I think late round four is about the time when I would consider it. But I think we talked about this earlier this week, Adam, that I'm expecting a significant role change for Keenan Allen in Chicago. And this is not going to be like, this is not the Chargers offense with Kellen Moore calling plays and Justin Herbert under center. This is a rookie quarterback in an offense that's been very shy about throwing the football. I don't think that they'll touch 60% passing. I think they'll be right around, it'll be high for them at 56, 57%. But I think DJ Moore is still going to be the 1A. And I think Keenan Allen will thrive in a role where he's working underneath routes and he gets open with his route running. He does not get open with his speed. He will get caught from behind a lot. And I think that Keenan Allen is someone who's almost like PPR only, right around 50th overall, half PPR, non-PPR. Man, I don't even know if I want to take him at all because I'm worried about the touchdowns, worried about the yardage. All that stuff just does not look good to me at looking at the Bears offense as it stands right now.
He's also going to be 32 and playing in an environment he's not used to. I mean, he's been in such ideal situations. San Diego Chargers, Los Angeles Chargers, quarterback situation's been much more favorable for him for the most part, playing with a veteran guy, you know, an established guy or a young guy that's on the rise. Now, clearly Caleb Williams can get there, but it's going to take a little bit of time. I think it could happen this season, but I mean, based on his age and scenario, round five for me is the earliest.
Yeah.
And well, talk about, sorry, go ahead, Dave.
He's the perfect type of receiver for a rookie quarterback.
Oh, totally.
Particularly Caleb.
See, that's it's funny. I actually think it's the opposite for Caleb Williams because Caleb Williams, what we know and we watch, he works back forward, as in he's looking deep and pulls his eyes in. He's looking for the bigger chunk plays. And I actually think that's bad for Keenan Allen. That's why if I was forced, even cost, I would go DJ Moore. But actually, that's part of my concern with Caleb Williams is that he's going to be looking past Keenan Allen a lot.
I think if they add another deep threat at receiver, you'll see that happen. But I also wonder if they train him to not do that. And we did see him plenty of times when he's trying to make a play. He's about to go out of bounds. It looks like he's going to take a loss or throw the ball away. He makes an amazing throw to somebody who's within 10 yards of him. Sure. I think that's what Keenan Allen can do. I think he'll be the best option for Caleb when he's scrambling this year.
Okay.
It's a matter of how many scramble plays he'll have from game to game. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of factors that determine that.
Yeah. Well, with the offensive line, probably quite a few.
Well, I don't know how bad that line's going to be. I don't think it's going to be one of the best in the league, but I think the line could be okay. I think it could be league average.
I think the thing that Keenan Allen does that could help him is he gets open. He gets open as well as anyone in football.
That's
and
still true.
And that could help a rookie quarterback. We got to take a break here. I was going to say, you know, the Bears, a lot of people know this. They're the only franchise that has not had, I think they're the only franchise, right? They've never had a 4,000 yard passer in a season. It's unbelievable.
Did the Jets have one?
I thought so. Testaverde.
How dare you slander retro?
I was just about to say Testaverde.
This feels like that. But the Bears have never had one. It's a bad place to throw, obviously. And I was going to say, you think the Caleb Williams gets there, but I was just looking while you guys were chatting over the last 3 years.
Joe Namath, 1967, 4007.
Wow.
So they've almost had none. By 7 yards, they had one.
It's amazing. So anyway, 17-game season over the last 3 years. We've only had each year 9 to 12 teams reach 4,000 yards. So it's pretty hard to see the Bears getting there just for fun. All right, let's take a break. One more play.
I mean, these teams have an extra game now that they didn't have back when.
That's why I said the last 3 years, 9 to 12 teams. Yeah.
I didn't hear that part.
Okay, we'll be right back with one more bust, some NFL draft talk, some fill in the blank, and what is your favorite bad but enjoyable movie? That's been on my mind a lot lately. We will be right back on Fantasy Football Today.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The last bust we're going to talk about is actually a combo. It's the Steelers running backs. Jake, let me tell you where they went. These are Jake's busts here. I'm searching for, in our draft, I'm searching for Jake Seeley. You did not get drafted. So let's search for Najee Harris instead. He went mid to late round 6. Jaylen Warren went late round 8. And fun fact, Jamie took Jaylen Warren and Dave took Najee Harris. So tell them why they're stupid.
This is even before Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't want any of them. And I don't even want, like, I know people are going to argue. I'm not saying either one of them, but people are going to argue, well, Jaylen Warren and things. It's Arthur Smith, who we already brought up in the show. And by the way, Bijan Robinson, even if you account for the one game with whatever inexplicable situation that was, where he didn't get barely anything, he's still behind the split of Najee Harris and running back touches last year. Just to talk about that, we're talking about Bijan Robinson, we know is clearly better than Tyler Allgeier, and yet he didn't have the touch percentage that Najee Harris had when everybody argued that Jaylen Warren could do better on a per touch basis, and nothing changed last year the entire season. Everybody argued that Jaylen Warren should be the lead, and I don't even care, because what's going to happen is it's going to be split. They add Cordarrelle Patterson, who Arthur Smith loves, and I know part of that's because of the return rule. But all this being said is I just don't want to even figure it out, because you're going to be chasing your tail the entire season. It's going to be, oh, look, Najee Harris got the lead these 2 weeks, and then boom, it's Jaylen Warren. Now we're back to figuring out another week, and then we need to. It's just, I'm going to stay away. You guys can take them. Yeah, I don't even care that it was round 6s and 8s. You can take them. You can try to figure it out. They're not going to be on my team.
I mean, Warren at the end of round 8, I thought was.
I don't care. Standing. You can have him.
I'll take all day.
I also think Arthur Smith is like a little underrated, but just because he's probably the lowest rated coordinator in the world in the fantasy community, everybody hates him. He's actually had some success with nothing but bad quarterbacks in his career. I don't understand why you wouldn't want Jaylen Warren if you know there's going to be a split and you're lamenting the split. Like, that's going to benefit. It's going to hurt Najee. It's going to hurt whichever running back's going first.
Because it's still not startable. I still don't want the split startable. Unless, so like, you know, I tongue in cheek a little bit. Like, I'm with Jamie. Around 8, you're half those guys get cut anyway, or something happens. Yeah. Round 8, fine. Maybe round 9, I'll take the flyer that Warren ends up being the guy. That's the only case I want. Like, if somebody got the ball 60% every single week, even if it's Harris, I'll take it, but I just don't see that happening. I think it's going to be a clear 10, 35, 45 type of situation with some other sprinkled in wherever else at the quarterback position, but you get my point. I just don't think it's going to be anything that we can rely on for the entire year.
I'm just going to finish with it. We got some other stuff to get to, so I will finish with this just for Jake here. You tell me, these are the running backs who went after Najee. Let's go back to Najee Harris.
Okay.
8th pick of round 6. Would you take any? Would you take these guys ahead of Najee Harris? Raheem Mostert.
Yes. Raheem Mostert, so much disrespect.
Austin Eckler.
Yes.
Tajay Spears.
Yeah, because if Tony Pollard falls on his face and he or even gets hurt, at least I know what I have.
Zach Moss.
Why can I make? Yes, but I don't want to.
Okay. All right. Moving on to our next segment. It's called What Are the Odds? And it's an NFL draft edition. And what are the odds that Jacksonville gets a better wide receiver than the 2023 version of Calvin Ridley in the NFL draft?
Oh, in the draft?
It would require them moving up, I think.
Yeah.
You think so? I mean, Brian Thomas maybe at 17?
Brian Thomas would be the only one. They might be able to move down and get Brian Thomas.
I mean, Odunze could slip.
Could.
If it's Odunze, then that's – I think Odunze's better. I think the other two, Harrison and Neighbors, are better than what Calvin Ridley is right now. I think they'd have to trade up to get one of those three, and it might be expensive for them to jump from 17. I'll say the odds are 25%.
But Dave, there's going to be Tank Dell and Puka Nacua. They get them every year. You're going to get one in the third or the fifth round. They're going to
every year.
Every year, yeah. All right.
I would say for fantasy production, I would say very low. I'm very low, but like talent wise, I think is a different discussion. So yeah.
What are the odds that Malik Nabers is drafted ahead of Marvin Harrison in fantasy drafts because of what happened in the NFL draft?
50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah. Marvin Harrison ends up in the Patriots or the Giants. Done.
Yeah.
Malik Nabers all day long.
What if Harrison's on the Patriots and Nabers is on the Giants?
Is there any fan base that hates their team more than Giants fans?
I love my team.
Hey, I'm not part of them anymore. As soon as they drafted Stroud, I moved to the Texans last year. I told you this. All right,
there you go. Lucky man. I wish I could do that. All right. I'm going to be a Bears fan then. Jamie, all of my hate right now is focused on the Yankees. I've never been less excited about opening day.
Why are you upset about the Yankees?
We're so spoiled, but I hate their roster. If I wish I were the GM, I would trade everyone. I would trade Cole, Judge, and Soto tomorrow.
Juan Soto.
I would trade them all.
You have Aaron Judge.
Trade them all.
The Yankees are just the Cowboys. They just, you know, they're trade always in the playoff all. Mix and never get through.
Yeah, except they actually spend in free agency. What are the odds that a rookie running back is drafted in the first three rounds of fantasy drafts based on what happens in the NFL draft?
Dallas Cowboys. Here we go.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, give him a running back.
I think it would have to be Trey Benson, though, because if it's Jonathan Brooks, is he going to be ready? Are we going to feel good about him coming off of the ACL?
What if the Chargers draft Corum? I mean, everybody loves this joke about that, but I mean.
Yeah.
They absolutely.
I don't think that goes for three rounds in fantasy. I think the Cowboys rookie, healthy, yeah. Which I think they would probably lean more towards a healthy guy, knowing that they're meant
sure,
they're built
they
to win
them.
Now.
Yep.
And look, they may take two. You know, it wouldn't surprise me if they – you know, round three, round five type situation. I don't know all their draft picks, but just after what Mike McCarthy said, you know, the quote was, we're not done with the room. They know what they need. They know what this team is looking like and how it's built and they need some players there. So
three top 100 picks and then they don't pick again till late round five.
Yeah. So
a trade down might help them.
It could be very similar to when the Packers reset their backfield with Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. You know, we could see something like that. Mm-hmm.
This is a good question here from the chat. Jake's dog's name is Barkley. He's probably going to get an Eagles jersey. Are you? What's going on there? You got the Barkley Giants jersey in the background. You got a dog named Barkley. What do we do here?
I was really hoping it was going to be Texans. I could just put some red on there and then just copy the jersey over. Barkley was the tongue-in-cheek pun anyway. So a lot of people actually think it has to do with Charles Barkley. So no, I will never get an Eagles jersey, but good for Saquon.
Yeah. All right. Good. And good for you for not getting an Eagles jersey. And good for you that Devin Singletary has gone from your new favorite team to your old favorite team. That's great stuff.
Yeah, I know. Get rid of him. Joe Mixon all day.
Here's our tweet of the day. I've been on a bad movie binge, bad movies that I love binge. And Ryan Surge asks, what's your favorite bad but enjoyable movie? And this came from last night when I was tweeting how I wanted to watch Best of the Best 2. And that was because I was watching Gladiator and the bad guy in Best of the Best 2 is also in Gladiator. I was like, God, I really want to watch Best of the Best 2 right now, which is just a terrible movie, but it's so fun. So then I couldn't watch Best of the Best 2 because it's not streaming anywhere, which I don't know how. So instead, I watched the new Roadhouse movie. Have you guys seen that?
And?
Okay, what? I'm only halfway through. It is not a bad movie. It is awesome. It is great.
So you're the only person I've heard say that. Every person
good.
I've seen that watched, which I was about to say, like, who's defining a bad movie? Because most of the movies you like are bad.
No, that's not true. You know what a bad movie. Like, two nights ago, I watched Starship Troopers. Which is like intentionally bad, but you can't take your eyes off of it.
It's very good, yes.
Right? Yeah,
that was one of the first ones that came to mind. That and the Fast and the Furious series, like every single one of those.
Never seen any of those, unfortunately. But I don't know if you guys have any favorites. I this was really hard for me. It's got to be a fighting movie.
You just took
No,
you know, I got a non-fighting movie for you.
Only the Strong. Only the Strong. That's my favorite bed.
Only Strong? Yeah. That's a good call. I was surprised. I think this was an accidental, like, what the heck type of streaming situation a few years ago. But Warm Bodies, the zombie comedy, it's just, it's really bad acting, but it's from the zombie perspective. It's actually, it's pretty good. Like, if it's on, it would be one of the ones where you're like, yeah, you know, I'll watch it again. And it's pretty bad.
I've never even
Where do you guys come out on Hangover 2 and Hangover 3?
Bad, bad.
They're both terrible.
Yeah, and not even enjoyable.
Okay, 3's all. I like them both.
Okay.
I like them for what they are, you know. Campy, simple, fun.
Speaking of sequels, the original Spider-Man 3 is terrible, but it's Spider-Man. It's good. It's fun.
Yeah, I think anytime you get, like, ensemble movies, it's almost feel like you're catching up with friends. Mm-hmm. You know, like, when because, you saw them.
Here's a controversial take, Jamie.
Yeah.
Could you argue that Rocky 3 or Rocky 4 is the best bad movie ever?
But they're not bad.
Are they? Like,
4 is bad. I'm sorry. 4 is bad.
But 4 is amazing. 4 is, like, everyone's
favorite. No, I'm sorry. I'm thinking 5. Sorry, 5 is bad.
5 is straight up bad.
Yeah, 5 is it. Like, 5 was actually one of the movies I was going to say. Because, like, again,
how many? No, but you like watching Rocky 5? I don't even think about Rocky 5.
Just, if it's on, I won't turn it off.
I won't turn it on.
The lines are so funny. Why don't you try knocking me down?
See, this is
good impression. Said,
right, that was good. Rocky 4 is 100% bad, but incredible. I'm on the fence there. Like, it's pretty bad. I mean, you've got like 3 montages. You have 2 montages within 5 minutes. That's unbelievable. That's South Park-esque.
But again, it's... I mean, it's, you know, the only thing that really makes me feel bad about it is Apollo dies.
Oh, don't tell Heath. It'd be, yeah. All right. So, well, anyway, that's a fun conversation. Thank you for the tweet, Ryan Search. Here's some fill in the blank about fantasy football.
Wait, ask Jake if he likes your stupid sandwich.
All right. Listen to my sandwich, Jake, because someone says Adam's taste in movies is probably on par with his sandwiches.
By the way, just knowing Jake, there's 0% chance he would ever even take a bite of this.
I was about to offer some odds, Jamie. Do you think he would eat it at like plus 250, or does it need to be higher than
that? You could put a pile of cash in front of him and he wouldn't touch the sandwich.
It went under, but I had a deli, so remember that.
This at your deli.
How often did somebody order this at your deli, Adam? Please.
Okay, so it's a ham and cheese sandwich with tomato and Russian dressing. Not bad, right?
It's already questionable.
On a cinnamon raisin bagel.
What the? I caught myself. I can't curse on this show.
All right, really, so how much for you to eat that sandwich, Jake? $8?
You'd have to give me more than that. That's disgusting.
$18.
No, because
$1.8 million.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, you start talking 4 figures, and I'll probably down it just to, burn my tongue first.
Just to give you some perspective, he used to order this every Sunday, right, Adam?
Every football Sunday, I would go to this place in Tribeca and get the football Sunday.
What's this place? Because I never want to go there because they let you do this.
No, wait, it gets worse.
So long ago, I don't know.
He used to do this. And then he was reminiscing about it, so he ordered again. But he was so ashamed that he didn't pick it up himself.
No. I picked it up. You're talking about what happened recently?
Yeah.
No, I picked it up. I just was too ashamed to order it at the restaurant, so I did it on the phone. I didn't want anyone else to hear because it is so weird.
Hi, I'd like to order.
Yeah, right. Voice. It's a good question here from Don. What were those Stallone Arnold movies where they were in a max security prison and had to break out?
Oh,
I'm thinking of Tango Expendable? And Cash, and that was Kurt Russell and Stallone. Or unless this is the Expendables, I don't remember.
No, that's the only movies they've done together.
Yeah, that wasn't Stallone and Arnold. Stallone and Kurt Russell were in Tango and Cash. They had
a
break.
That's
out
not
of
a bad movie. Yeah. That's a great movie.
That movie's awesome, but I bet it's pretty bad. But enjoyable.
Expendables. Judge Dredd. There's a terrible movie.
Judge Dredd was bad, yeah.
Demolition Man?
I am the
Demolition. That's the one I was trying to think of because I was thinking of Wesley Snipes.
Oh, Demolition Man's great.
I think it's a good movie. Yeah,
I would watch Demolition Man.
right, here's some fill in the blank about fantasy football. This is from Nick Pentakoff. James Cook will be blank in targets on the Bills offense this season.
Third.
Fourth, but
fourth.
Close.
Yeah. I think three. Curtis Samuel.
I'll take
Shakir. Oh no, I'm so depressed about Shakir. I love some Shakir, but Curtis Samuel getting back with Joe Brady and look at that usage from when he was with the Panthers for that 1 year. I actually think Curtis Samuel is going to be deployed as the two.
It does have some appeal to it from that perspective, but it also feels like that was 10 years ago.
Yeah, but what would you say, Dave? It wasn't that
long. I want to know where you have James Cook ranked.
James Cook? I can tell you right now because, of course, like everybody else, way too early. I have him at 15th at running back.
All right. Yeah, that's about where you go.
All right. This is from Dave. You got to talk into the mic more. We barely hear you. This is from Woat John. The new kick return format will make blank DST into a cheat code because of their returner.
Steelers. It is not coincidence. It's not coincidence that Cordarrelle Patterson signed with the Steelers the day of the NFL kickoff rule changing.
Yeah.
I'll give you one that people might kind of just overlook. Whether it's a Chan or Hill, and then remember, like, people are scared that people are going
to
get hurt.
Exactly. I was about to say
like the reason we didn't have kick returns in these kind of guys is because they're afraid they're going to get hurt, and their teams are going to be more willing to deploy people like a Chan and Hill on returns now. And holy crap. The other one I'll throw out, whoever drafts Xavier Worthy and puts him there.
Yeah, hold on a second here. This movie must be so bad. I've never even heard of it. Arnold and Stallone in a movie called Escape Plan. Yes, Don was right. They have to break out of a maximum security prison. I don't think I want to see this movie.
There's two. There's an Escape Plan 2.
I do want to see this movie.
I do want to see. It's got Jim Caviezel and Vincent D'Onofrio in it. Right, 50 Cent was in it.
I'm in. Let's see how it did on Rotten Tomatoes. Here, Escape Plan.
It's got 6.7 on IMDb.
The sequel looks like it did pretty bad. Oh, it's 7%. The first one got a 50% though.
That's not that bad.
Yeah.
That's man. I don't think you can call that a
bad
movie.
How old were they when they made this movie?
It was 2013.
They're old. Yeah, that's like probably.
Neighbor.
All right. Next up from Pete Farmer, Zach Moss will be a blank running back.
Bengals.
Overdrafted.
Borderline RB2, RB3.
Why so negative? Because you think Chase Brown has a big role or a decent size role?
He never stayed healthy. Yeah. He's been in this role before.
That too.
All right.
It's a good spot, but he's sharing for sure.
The Bengals feel like one of those teams that could surprise us too and be like, oh, round three, this guy was still on the board. Look what happened. And now you just got another guy in the mix.
From Sebastian, I'll skip the one about Dobbins playing for blank. Sebastian says, blank has the highest possibility for fantasy redemption this year.
Drake London. That feels like the easiest answer there could be.
Cooper Kupp is the first name that came to my mind.
I like the London answer.
Kyle Pitts then, too. Throw them both of them together.
He's on too?
I don't really see how everyone could be so high on London and not high on Pitts. I was thinking about that the other day.
I'm with you. I have Pitts as top five tight end.
And I think where you guys are, Jamie and Dave, is not quite top five, but like 6-7. I think that's appropriate. I just feel
I have him behind Kincaid and behind Ingram, just based on their situations right now. But those three are the trio of death, based on how we typically draft these guys, where we get excited about these tight ends after the top three or four, and they always flop. Pitts has been the last two seasons.
Guess who I'm gonna say has the highest possibility for redemption?
Stephon Diggs.
No. Even more Azer.
Gabe Davis.
T. Higgins.
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, yeah.
How about Joe Burrow?
Bengals in general. Bengals passing game in general should bounce back. From Scott, if Marvin Harrison Jr. is drafted by the Chargers, Justin Herbert is a top blank quarterback.
Doesn't change. He's not having a QB1 for me this year. I don't care if they draft Marvin Harrison.
Really?
He'll be
Look at his last two seasons.
He'll be a low-end QB1. You can still draft him. He still has great upside. I expect the Chargers to do something with their wide receivers. And you can get him so late, you can get another quarterback with him. So if he doesn't pan out, you just go with the next quarterback.
From T, if Khalil Herbert goes to the Chargers, he is an RB blank in PPR.
Khalil Herbert?
Yeah, he's just speculating. He says, I haven't heard anything to suggest this, but wouldn't it be very intriguing?
I said this before when they signed DeAndre Swift. It wouldn't shock me if one of those two guys gets traded, and Herbert makes the most sense just because of his years of service. So I would think a team like the Chargers, if they don't like J.K. Dobbins, but obviously there's a lot of history there with the coordinator. Dallas, you know, if you can get a round 7 or round 6 pick in return, you know, for the Bears, would they consider it? I would imagine so. Any of those situations where he escapes Chicago and has a chance to be, you know, a starter or a little bit more of a foothold in getting touches would be great for him. So, yeah,
he's one of those running backs that looks to me like a winner of this new kickoff rule. And he's not going to cost Chicago very much against the cap. What if they keep him and they make him one of their kick returners?
Yeah, I can see him staying. Sure.
Hmm. I wonder if more fantasy leagues are going to start pivoting to return yards. Not, you know, as a.
I'm going to write an article about that.
I think 2024, because I'm sure most leagues will want to see what happens.
Right. And the rule isn't permanent. It's just a 1-year trial.
It's a 1-year trial. Yeah.
I don't want to be in those leagues. So just don't do it for us, please.
No. But here's the question is this. Should your player that you start get credit for a kick return touchdown? Or does that only belong to the DST?
DST.
So Heath, in the Dynasty League that Dave and I are part of that Adam hates because I have him attached to the league. I'm pretty sure the first year he did it, he had return yardage for players.
Yep.
And as a result, I drafted Tyreek Hill 2 rounds too soon, and I've been thrilled ever since.
Nice. Nice. All right. I have a few emails here that I wanted to knock out. We're going to do these quickly here.
Hey, post in the comments what you think the best answer is for that. DST only or both DST and the player getting a kick return touchdown?
DST only.
Okay. You have to post it in the comments, Jamie.
Jamie has posted.
Yeah.
Jake, you got an opinion on it?
No, mostly because I think DST needs to be revamped, period. So I would lean towards the player and fix DST. Ooh.
Oh, the kicker should get it.
I agree. I think
the kicker should get the hell out of here, Jamie.
All right, from Kevin. Where's Kevin from?
Kevin is from Mount Adams, Ohio.
Kevin I think the question is, do you believe that a team with a bad defense will produce better fantasy options, I guess, at wide receiver or quarterback? You know, they give up more points, they're chasing points, etc. I'm not sure I buy the premise, but a lot of people do. What do you guys think?
The cliche, like, oh, they give up a ton of points, so they're going to have to pass the entire game type of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's more of a trap than a truth.
Agree.
Yeah, me too. Okay, this is Corey from the cold north, eh?
Yes, Mr. Gardner Minshew in Jacksonville.
Would you trade Jamar Chase in a dynasty league?
Maybe portals.
In a super flex dynasty league, 12 teams. Okay. Would you trade Jamar Chase for Drake London and pick 104? He also
super
has
flex.
He also has 102. So
did we get this question recently? All right.
Yes, I think so. Yeah. But I feel like there's more detail here, but I'm not sure.
So 102, and then he gets 104 in a super flex. The value's there, but I could throw either way. The value is there, but it's not a necessity in that case.
So you're getting London and the 2 picks?
No, he has 102. So he's getting London and 104. It's basically a wash trade in the end of it. You're getting the worst wide receiver, but you can double down with another wide receiver or a quarterback because of super flex.
So
it's like,
so 102 is a quarterback, unless you want to go there.
He says 101 is going to be Marvin Harrison, so he's going to take Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams, and then Malik Neighbors.
And Neighbors?
They would be at 4. I don't like it.
Neighbors and London for Jamar. Again, that's value.
No, because he's getting the quarterback.
You already have that pick.
He already has that pick.
Neighbors and London for Jamar is worth it. Yes.
I don't think I'd keep Jamar.
All right. From Bad Books. Do we know any players that might benefit most from the hip drop being banned? Players that break a lot of tackles, maybe?
Everybody.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah, there'd be a lot of. I'd say faster guys are getting caught from behind too.
Okay.
I wonder how many times we're going to just see it, and the penalties, just part of the story at this point.
Or they don't even flag it anymore. Who knows? They might only flag it when it's like there's an injury at the end of the play.
I hope
not. Do you coach up your players to fake an injury?
Oh, is this soccer now?
That would be kind of pathetic, but maybe you get more flags that way. Hey, real quick, top three teams in points scored last year. You tell me if their defenses were bad. 49ers.
Nope.
Ravens.
Nope.
Dolphins.
Mediocre.
But
there you go.
I think more, let's look at the worst defenses. Washington, Arizona, Philadelphia, Carolina, and the Colts. Those were the five worst defenses.
Okay.
Well, so you could argue
with top 10 in scoring.
Yeah, you could argue Sam Howell got more opportunities, but it still comes down to Sam Howell, his ups and downs. So I don't think the defense is good. Again, it's more of a trap than truth.
Is the run game good too? Like that's
yeah.
Part of
awesome. Yeah, it's yeah. context, baby.
Yeah. Yep. The Commanders did lead the NFL in pass attempts for what it's worth, but also pass rate. They were just pass heavy.
Thomas had to ban someone in the chat. I wonder what they did.
I banned someone in the chat.
You did?
Yeah, they were, I don't know, it was some spammy advertising of a product.
They were talking trash about the Good Morning Sunday football cinnamon raisin bagels.
Oh, God.
No, they said Pittman over Higgins. All right, we're out of here, Jake. Yeah. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes. No problem. I'm never going to have that sandwich ever. I was willing to try it until you got to the cinnamon raisin part.
I know. Before that, it's fine. Ham and cheese with tomato and Russian dressing. That's terrific.
It's kind of boring, honestly.
Jake, if someone paid you $100, you wouldn't eat it?
$100, I'd eat it just because it's $100.
And you know that we're not going to, you know, sneak around and put like mushrooms or something like that. Like,
no. Azer comes to flex and gives me $100. I'll eat it.
All right, Adam, give Jake.
Azer comes to flex. I'll give you the $100.
Why don't you eat your burger and we'll tell you? All right, we'll talk to you. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great weekend. Have a great Easter, everybody.
Enjoy the college basketball action.
We have work on Monday, right?
Good luck in your brackets, dude.
It's not Easter Monday. It's not a holiday. Easter Friday. Okay. All right. Goodbye. See ya. I'm still learning. Later.
May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil Returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.